Christian Laettner joins us on Sports Byline USA. 13 seasons in the NBA, and of course he was drafted number 3 overall by the Timberwolves after Shaquille O'Neal and Alonzo Mourning. And he is an assistant coach with the Fort Wayne Mad Ants of the NBA Development League. Christian, what the heck happened to those days where we had names like the Knicks and the Celtics and the Warriors and the Bulls, and now we've got the Mad Ants?
Well, there's only so many names you can throw around there, Ron, you know what I mean? And, you know, when they started the D-League, they had a come up with some creative names, I guess. I don't understand the Mad Ants thing, but it doesn't matter much to me. What matters is that I'm working for them as an assistant coach, and I'm having a great time doing it.
Let me take you back to Duke, of course, two-time NCAA champion. Went to 4 Final Fours playing for Mike Krzyzewski. And how did you end up at Duke? What were the decisions that you went through to finally end up at Duke?
Well, I really started noticing them in 1986. I was like a sophomore in high school, and they really broke onto the national stage with that 86 team. And I just fell in love with everything about them. I fell in love with the school, the name, their colors, the sneakers they wore, and then their style of play, and especially their coach, because Coach K, you can see his charisma even over the television screen, and it's just obvious that he was a great coach then, and he's still a great coach. So I just loved everything about Duke and, you know, Coach K and his basketball program and their style of play is definitely the thing that won me over the most in my decision to go play for him at Duke University.
Christian, when you think about the success that he's had, I mean, Hall of Fame coach, winning as coach in college basketball on the men's side and everything, break it down for me. You're in coaching right now. Tell me a little bit about why he's been able to run such a successful program, not only successful, but for a long period of time.
Well, first and foremost, the biggest thing is he runs a very, very tight ship. I call it military style discipline and how demanding he is of you. And he doesn't demand, you know, 20 things from you. He demands, you know, 3 or 4 crucial things from you as a basketball player. And if you stick to his guidelines and give him what he's demanding from you, you'll end up having a lot of success in his program, on his team, and overall in your basketball life, in basketball career. So, and that's what I loved about him the most is how demanding he is on his best player on the team and also on the 12th man on the team. So I find myself when I'm coaching now for this D-League team to be kind of preaching the same things to these guys. You know, I tell them, you got to play hard. You got to play defense first. You have to play with intensity. You have to play with passion. And a lot of those words are the same words that Coach K, you know, spits out of his mouth on a daily basis to his team and wherever he goes to speak. I know he goes on a lot of speaking engagements, and I'm sure he stresses those same points, those same key terms everywhere he goes.
You never hear about a Duke player being in trouble. I can't even remember if I've ever heard about a Duke player being in trouble. And I asked a couple of former players about why that was, and he said it was because Coach K taught responsibility. And I thought that was an interesting word because you don't hear it used very often. And with young kids, teaching them responsibility probably makes a coaching job a little bit easier. Am I correct in that observation?
Well, of course you are. There's many different types of responsibility. You know, responsibility to yourself, to your family, to your wife, to your children, to your job, to the school you represent, to your employer. So, Coach K is a big on responsibility. You know, very, very big on responsibility. And the thing that I loved the most was that he preached it in so many ways that you can't help but, you know, not turn into a better person, but just have a better outlook on life and realize how responsibility plays such a huge factor in every part of your life. And like I said, the thing that makes him so unique is that it doesn't matter whether you're the best player on the team or you're the 12th man on the team. You all depend on each other. And I've read a lot of military books, a lot of military survival books, and it all talks about the troop and the entire group of guys, how they are responsible to each other and how they depend on each other. And Coach K does a very good job of making you depend on each other, especially defensively on the basketball court. And that's why his teams are always very, very good.
Well, certainly with his background, having come out of West Point both as a player and also as a coach, that certainly is where his roots are. The other thing he said to me one time, Christian, when I was down there doing the show with him, I asked him if he was a goal setter, and he just kind of laughed, and he said no. He said, what if I set my goals to win 20 games, and we win our first 20 games? What do we do after that? And I had never heard a coach say that, but I thought it was very, very interesting.
Well, you know, in a lot of ways, he's not a goal setter because you don't want to put limits on yourself. You know what I mean? But at the same time, he does give you short-term goals. You know, he'll say, our goal is to have a great practice today. And then the next day when you come back to practice, he might say, another goal of ours is to have a great practice this new day. And that's what I loved about him. He didn't put big, huge goals on you for like the whole year. But once March rolls around and tournament time rolls around, he does put goals on you. He says, let's go win this weekend tournament. So instead of thinking like you got to win 6 games to win the national championship, he would say we only have to win these first 2 games. And once we do that, we'll go to the next weekend, you know, the next round of games in the tournament, and our goal will be to win that mini tournament that weekend. So he does a very good job of breaking things up and not having you get caught up on long-term goals and just trying to have success at short-term goals.
A lot of people point to that 1992 NCAA game with Kentucky as the greatest game ever played, and, of course, your shot, that last-second shot with your back to the basket. But I want to ask you, is there a little nuance about that game that most people don't know or don't appreciate that really means a little bit more to Christian Laettner aside from just that shot?
Pardon me, Ron, ask me that again. I didn't quite hear you.
I was saying, aside from that game and the shot that you made in that game against Kentucky, is there a new nuance about that game that you particularly appreciate aside from just that shot? Was there something that most people didn't see that when you reflect back on that game that it means a lot to you?
Well, I don't know. That game has been critiqued and analyzed in so many different ways for so many years that there's really not much I can say about it anymore that, you know, that hasn't already been said. You know, a book just came out about 3 weeks ago by Gene Wojciechowski where he talks about that game and that year in very, very fine detail. So I would have to think about it. The thing that I always try to stress to people is that, you know, I've heard Bobby Hurley say that when Sean Woods hit the shot to put them up with 2 seconds left, that he, you know, that Bobby thought we were going to lose and that our season was over. And I've heard Grant Hill say that he felt the same way. And what I try to stress to people is that I didn't feel that way. I still thought that we had a chance to win. The game's not over till the fat lady sings. So I went to the huddle. I listened to Coach K. I believed in what he said because he was our leader. And sometimes all you need is one player or 2 players to believe that you still have a chance. And we went out there and made the shot. And like I said, sometimes you only need 1 or 2 players to believe in something.
Did that play come off just as it was designed, or were there some adjustments that were made when it was underway?
No, that's exactly how we drew it up. Grant was supposed to throw the ball to me at the foul line at the other end of the court, and I was supposed to make the shot. Coach said, Grant, can you make the pass? And Grant said, yes. He said, Christian, can you make the catch? And I said, if Grant throws a good pass, I'll catch it, Coach. And, you know, and then he didn't even worry. He didn't even say, Christian, you know, can you make the shot? He didn't worry about that because – taking a shot is just, you know, sometimes they go in, sometimes they don't. So he got us thinking in a positive, you know, mind frame. And we went out there and we had success. But that's exactly how we drew it up.
Christian, hold on just a second. We'll keep you just a little bit longer. We're talking basketball with Christian Laettner. He's assistant coach of the Fort Wayne Mad Ants of the NBA Development League. We'll talk about that aspect of his career, his NBA career as well. And he also won a gold medal as a member of the first Olympic Dream Team. Remember that team back in 1992, two-time NCAA champion with Duke, 1991 and 1992. We continue across the country and around the world. We've got you on Sports Byline.